Amen.
Amen. I'll be honest with you, I'm worn out from this morning's message. You say, how are you worn out? Well, it wears me out. It's hard to preach a message that's so convicting. You know, it's almost like this, okay, let's stop at this point. I'm going to pray a little bit. I'll get back with you, you know. And but it's important. It's important. A lot of Baptists, they think, you know, you start talking about the Holy Spirit, you're Pentecostal or something. And I just think we do a lot of stuff in our own strength, and we miss out on really what. I mean, we've got so many programs. We've got so many how-to books. If we don't know how to by now, we're in trouble. But I think the book of Acts is really a place to zero back in on these days. What happened there? It's overwhelming to see what happened. And it was in the face of opposition. They just kept on going. So incredible. And let's keep that before each other. Let's keep that thought. Let's work together and remind each other. We need to be filled with the Spirit. So we need to. Let me mention before I get in, looking at what I want to look at tonight. In September we want to start a new evangelism plan. And so what I want to do sometime in August is on Sunday morning set up for that. On a Sunday morning, just let everybody set tables up the way we want to. But we're going to have some meetings. I'm going to ask you to come to some meetings during the week, or so let me know what times you have available. I'll get with you, but we need to talk about some things. And one thing, we already talked to Mona about this, and Chris and Bethany, is about trimming off the fat of the schedule. And you say, well, preacher, what do you mean? Well, there's some things we don't need to burn people out. You know, it is God's will that you work, and it is God's will that you sleep, and it is God's will that you eat, amen, and it is God's will that you spend time with your family, okay? I'm very cognizant of that. Family is the first institution in the Bible, and your first ministry is to your family. So, but I've been praying a long time, and I've shared this with you. I'm praying a long time about being able to get total participation in evangelism. And so I want to make this, and it's going to be on a Sunday night, Sunday afternoon at 4:30, we're going to start. Okay? 4:30. And we're going to make it so everybody can participate in some form or fashion in evangelism. And we're going to make this exciting. And we're going to stay at it. Once we start it, we're going to continue to do it. And there's some other features to it that we'll share, but I want you to pray for me as I work on. We got to work on some printing and some different things like that to get things organized. We already used some of the methods. That's why it's so exciting, because some of the things we use, like when we visit for Vacation Bible School, we have maps already mapped out, and this is going to be everybody is going to be able to have a part in evangelism, and on top of that, it's set up in such a way that people can, I'm not saying naturally, but as God moves their heart, they'll say, oh, well, you know I do this, but how about I try that? And people get more involved in sowing the seed. And then, as I mentioned this morning, I got in contact with one of my classmates back in the day, and he started something called Fill America, which is right down our alley, and that we can be a part of, and we can use this to be a part of, and it's getting tracts out, getting gospel tracts out into the community, and just getting them out, and tracts shouldn't sit around. You know, we ought to put an expiration date on them, and get them out. And Bible Tracts Incorporated is putting a QR code on there, and if the people hit the QR code and fill it out, Bible Tracts will call the church in that area and say, hey, these people are close to us. They read the track and they made a decision. Here, follow up. So there's a lot of good things going on with the technology we have, and so we're working on a lot of things, and we appreciate it. And people being part. I mentioned to Mona about Master Clubs, and I said, we're thinking about doing it. She said, Pastor, whatever you think, we're ready to go. And it kind of convicted me and humbled me, because that's sometimes not the attitude I have. And she said, we're ready to go. Whatever, we'll do it. So I'm excited about what God's going to do, because He's going to do it through us. I will say another thing is, brother Jimmy DeYoung told me, he said, I've been in a lot of churches, but he said, that your church is special. And I said, I know. He said, don't change your attitude toward the Word of God and how we treat people when they come here. He told me, he said, man, it was just great to be there. It was just great to be there. And so he got a blessing. Continue to pray for him. He's over, I forget exactly where he, not Bangladesh. Is it Bangladesh? No, it's not Bangladesh. It's something. I'll remember it when I'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and remember it. So it was good for him to be here. Let me ask you also to pray for preachers. Pray for the preachers across America. We have some preachers that are going through struggles with health and things, and some of them are on our prayer list, but there's so many that we talk to on Twitter. Going through struggles. And pray for preachers to once again treat this pulpit as a sacred desk. It's not a entertainment.
Amen. That's right.
And there's a lot of things said. I had a young preacher call me, and somebody said some things to him. And he said, well, what I do? I said, you just keep on doing what you're doing. They don't know what they're talking about.
Amen.
You know, right. Some preachers get to the place that they think they have the right to say whatever they want.
Yeah.
And you can hurt people with your words. You can really hurt people with your words. I've had people say things to me. I had one guy call me, well, you're not a Baptist preacher if you're not street preaching. I said, okay, I'm Methodist. Okay, what do you want to talk about? I mean, it's just that the kind of it's that kind of stupidity that's out there. And a sermon is not a plaything. It's not a thing. It's for real.
Right.
And I struggle every time I preach. I do. I struggle. It's a struggle in my heart, in my mind, and desiring to communicate and for God to work through me. And when I get done, I don't say, I say, Lord, I you know, there's the foolishness of preaching again, you know, and just use it the best you can and work in hearts. But we need preachers bad. We need good preachers. And we need young preachers. We need young preachers to stand up and preach the Bible and be gentlemen and be ethical, have character and integrity. And it's really difficult. There's a church down there, Westfield Baptist Church down there in North Carolina. Now, it's a rough place to start.
Yeah.
I mean, if a guy goes, somebody goes there, it's going to have to be something where they're going there for life, and they're going to have to stay with it till something happens. But they got all kinds of property, nice property, and they've upgraded it while they've not had a pastor. Haven't had a pastor for 4 years? 5 years? They were going to merge with the church across town that needed a building and had a good pastor, but one deacon, one sourpuss deacon, just didn't want to. So he needs the letter out to the First Church of Mars or something. But anyhow, you know, he you know, just stuff like that. And those people are suffering. Those people are suffering, and people don't come to that kind of church. So anyhow, pray for that. And so I forgot to mention Miss Creed. Pray for Miss Creed. She's feeling a little bit better.
Amen.
So, well, let's look at tonight. I want us to look at a couple thoughts. Concerning sin, and we'll get away from sin, right? Be done with sin, amen? Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. You might take your pens out and pencils out and get some things, because I want you to get these. And a lot of times when we look at these doctrines, it'll help you answer some questions. I'll tell you, people ask questions, don't they? I've half started writing a pamphlet. I'm still trying to get it together. But why do we come to church on Sunday?
Oh, wow.
You know, and working on things like that. People want to know, why do we come to church on Sunday? Okay. First day, you know. Why do we come on Wednesday? That's a short track. I don't know. Just do. Amen.
Amen.
And so, because Grandma and Grandpa did. But anyhow, Matthew chapter 12, and look at verse 22. Matthew chapter 12, and verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. That's pretty good healing, amen?
Amen.
That's the way God does it, completely. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? You know, what they were saying was, you know, this is just the guy. I mean, they weren't acknowledging him as God. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So they switched around. They said, his God is the devil. They really messed up because he puts it on them. And Jesus saw their thoughts and said unto them. Now, verse 25, you want to underline something, write or highlight, and Jesus knew their thoughts. That's a disadvantage, big disadvantage. And so he knows their thoughts, and it says this: every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That makes sense. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? He said, well, if I'm of Satan and I cast Satan out, I'm not following what he wants. And you know, here it is. The people are looking at Jesus, and then they look back at the Pharisees. They got nothing to say. I mean, picture this. I mean, they're looking. They're becoming really dumb. Not like the dumb guy, but the dumb, really dumb. And if Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if you cast out devils by the Spirit of God, there you go, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now, what was Jesus preaching to the Jews? He is preaching to them the kingdom. You need to understand that in the Gospels. He is preaching to them the kingdom. They thought he was going to set up an earthly kingdom. No, he's not going to set up an earthly kingdom. They wanted a king. They wanted a general. They wanted a financier. They wanted everything. Look at verse 29. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first blind the strong man, and then will he spoil the house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Okay, he's separating himself from these people. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, I want you, first of all, I want to give you the background concerning the unpardonable sin. First of all, there's an exorcism in verses 22 and 23. Jesus casts out a devil. See? Now, this man couldn't see and he was dumb because he was possessed with a devil. That's pretty bad, isn't it? And so he heals him. And he confronted the demon, and the man was delivered from Satan's bondage. Okay? So he was demon-possessed. Now, the explanation is in verse 24. What's verse 24 say? Okay, so they made explanation. They said, this is the devil's work. Now, listen, why did they say that? Why did the Pharisees say this is the devil's work? I'll tell you, first of all, they had no relationship with God. The Pharisees. I had a little bit of an online back and forth with a preacher. I said his name, you'd know him. But he kept calling preachers, people that have standards and things, Pharisees. So I said, well, in the Bible, a Pharisee is a lost person.
Exactly. Amen.
So so what do you call? So he said, what do you call a person that pushes his standards on another person? I said, they're in sin. But they're not Pharisees.
Right.
Pharisees reject Jesus.
Right.
Okay. There's some overboard Christians. You know. So what happens here is they're trying to explain to people what's happening. They have no idea what's happening. Have you ever heard a lost person? Have you ever been at a family reunion or been at a family gathering, and one of your lost relatives starts speaking up about God, and they have no idea what they're saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you don't know whether to put them straight. Well, I do. That's why they say Pat Jr. Pat Jr. Pat Jr. Pat Jr. said. I'm not going to let it go.
Amen.
Somebody gets up there and starts mouthing on about salvation, says you got to do this, you got to do this. I said, let's get the Bible out.
Amen.
Okay? Then they start lifting verses out of context. Bad mistake. You say, why? Because I take them back to the context. If you read the context of a verse, you can understand it.
Amen.
Why? Because that's the way the Bible's written. It's not a difficult, it's not, if you don't know Jesus, it's hard to understand. Okay?
Right.
So these Pharisees were making an explanation. Let me just say, today, I mentioned this, but in this state, they are saying, we, you know, this person is too Christian, this person is too conservative for Maryland. Yeah, you get some real people, real patriots and constitutionalists, and God forbid you get a saved person in office, some things are going to stop in Maryland. Maybe. But that's what they were doing. They were taking something that was good. By the way, the lost people look at what churches like ours, what happens at churches like ours, they can't explain it. They say those people are nuts. And we are. We're nuts for Jesus. Amen. And so we explanation. Now, the exhortation, here's what Jesus says. He gives three reproofs. Get these down. This is good stuff. He reproves them three ways. He said division leads to destruction. In verses 25 and 26, he says, is Satan divided? He said, that's destruction. Doesn't make sense, you see. And then he says, in verse 27, he said, demons were being cast out by others. In that day, listen, cast out demons was not just happening with Jesus, it was happening all over the place. Right? We've got people, they call themselves fake healers. Come out in the name of Jesus and say, baby. You know? And they hit them upside the head and they fall down. I call them fake healers. But they have Catholic priests that do exorcisms. That's scary because they're not saved.
Right.
So if they believe what the Catholic Church teaches, they're not saved.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that demon could just jump right into them. Possibly has. That's another message. And then verse 29 tells us that Christ is stronger than Satan. You see what he says there? Or else, can one enter into strong man's house, spoils goods, except the first bind strong man? What he's saying is, I'm the strong one here. I'm the one. Okay? So there's the exhortation. Now, secondly, not only the background, but look at the blasphemy. Now, here's what people don't understand. Here's what people don't understand what blasphemy in the Bible is. Now, you can use the word blasphemy, but accurately, this is where it's at right here. This is where it's explained. Now, the definition blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is crediting the works of God to Satan. Okay? And the damnation of this sin. What is the problem? It's all wrapped up in this. It's all wrapped up in this. The whole problem with the Pharisees was this. They would not accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior.
Right.
And that's why they said these things, and Jesus can't forgive that sin. What is the first forgiveness that we attain from God? He forgives us of our sins when he saves us. By the way, let me rerun this. People want to talk about repentance. They want to talk about, you got to be sorry for your sin. You got to be sorry for this. I'm with Tim. I saw hell hot and heaven sweet. I chose heaven. And so here's the thing that we need to realize when we think about this is you cannot do anything about your sin before you're saved. You can't do anything. You say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Nothing happens. Understand why? Because he's not your Lord. Okay? He's not your Savior. So what's the first, when's the first time he does something about your sin? When you call on him and say, Lord, I believe, come into my heart and save me.
Amen.
He covers them.
Amen.
There's no CPA up in heaven. CPA angels are going, okay, let's check this one off. Let's check this one off. It's all covered. Plus the future ones. But he cannot, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is rejecting Jesus Christ. And on every front in this, you can study this for a period of time and you can make notations out in your margin where they reject Jesus. They reject what he says. They turn it around. Why? Because they don't know him. Now you can't save a person. You can pray for a person. You can sow the gospel seed with a person. But you can't save a person. So the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is rejecting Christ as Savior. Okay? Now, any questions? Okay, now, let's move on to the Christian and sin. The Christian and sin. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The woodshed chapter. Any of y'all ever heard of the woodshed? Any of y'all ever have your mother go out and ask you to pick out a switch? My mother did. I'd pick out a little twig. I was in for a whooping then. I was in for a big one then. Now notice the Christian in sin. Look at chapter 12 and look at verse 5. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now that scourgeth is not a love tap. Scourging is a beating. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof ye are partaker, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of the flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? Now look what it says in verse 4. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, talking about God, that we might be partakers of what? See? Now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous. It's not fun. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, the perils of discipline is here. Number one, we forget. We forget what... As a Christian, if something's happening to us, something's not going right, there's a reason. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't quote me. Don't say, you know, God's sitting up there and he's playing whack-a-mole with us. That's not what God's doing. God is chasing us if we step out of line. Now, Job wasn't being chastened.
Right.
But it was for a reason. But if something's happening and we just go into la la land thinking, well, you know, I don't know why God's doing this, why God's doing this, and we're ignoring or forgetting, hey, you know, I'm not right with God. I did this, I did that. No, God doesn't miss anything. Okay, God doesn't miss anything. You know, God, let me slide on that one. Nope. It doesn't work. And so he chastens us. He chastens us. And so we get callous. We get complaining. We get careless. And then in verse 5 it says we faint. He said a person can be so overcome by the chastisement and discipline in his life that he gives up. That's fainting. That's how people react. You say, and I've said this before, if everybody that used to be here at this church wasn't used to bees, but they were bees, we'd have to set up chairs. We'd have to bust out walls. Do you know what happened? You get up here and you listen to this preacher, you listen to Sunday school lesson, and the Holy Spirit points right at you. And the difference between you and somebody that quits and leaves is you say, you're right, God, I confess. And it's not mechanical, it's for real. And that's the kind of people that a real good church is built on. It's not built on a bunch of people that are running around carnal and getting into this stuff and not right with God. Nothing worse than people in the church, in office or a deacon or a trustee or anybody that's not right with God and they're sinning their life. A preacher friend of mine made some statements in church and one of the deacons walked out and said, man, I'm going home and have me a glass of VO. He's a deacon. That guy's forgotten some things. He's out there. And so there's forgetfulness, there's fainting. Now, the proofs of discipline is in verse 6. God loves you. If you're getting chastened, God's saying, I love you. Archie went flying across the parking lot. His dad said, no. And he kept on going. And he took him in a room and chastened him. He didn't like it either. But the next time he starts taking off and he hears no, I hope he remembers it. Because I think that would have hurt me too. That guy, he put it on. So what's he, why did Darian do that? Why did Darian discipline his son? Because he doesn't want to get killed. Somebody back up. Because he loves him. Okay? Disciplining children today, you know, my dad didn't know anything about timeout. You know? Pat, you shouldn't have done that, and you shouldn't have been doing that, and you shouldn't say that to your mother. Don't say that to your mother. Time out. You shouldn't have broken the neighbor's window and you shouldn't be doing this. Time out. The time out back when I was a kid was when I was knocked out. And my dad grew up in an alcoholic's house. He didn't know how to express love to the best of his ability, but he knew he didn't want us to turn out like him. You say, did you get spanked, Pastor Creed? Yes, not enough. We had fun one Christmas telling Dad what we did behind his back. He got mad at us. We confessed it, but we got mad. He shook his head. And y'all, right? Your parents are known, being deep trouble. So he loves you if he chastens you. When I get up, there's sometimes in the church, when I look out of church, and now more than ever, I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to just tell it like it is. Not because I think I'm the big guy. I'm just going to tell you because I love you and I want our church to be right, stay right, and I want us to grow. Now, we've got people visiting, looking to see if they're going to come to this church. I'm not going to be any different when they're here than I am at any other time. I'm just going to shut the corn, just let it go, and let it go where it goes, and preach the Bible, and keep getting up. I'm not going to change. I hope I learn to be better and everything in some other areas, but you know what I'm saying. And so when I the fellas in homiletics, you know, Christopher, he got in homiletics. Christopher got critiqued in the class, and then I caught him other places. Say, why did you do that? Were you just getting on him? No, I want him to be the best. I want him to be best he can be. I want him to be able to handle the Word of God. We don't have many young people that can take the Word of God and handle it and preach it. We don't have many people that can respect the Bible. And so you have to chasten them. And so God loves you if he chastens you. And how does he chasten you? Well, I'll tell you, the biggest way he chastens you is guilt.
Right. That's right.
You know you're wrong. There's a phrase in the Old Testament that Jesus, our God, said to Cain, sin lieth at the door.
Right.
You can't hide from it because it's right there with you. You're guilty. You're singing, oh, how I love Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, right. Tell me about it. Oh, how I love. Huh? Fact of the matter is, when we sing some songs, congregation, if you're not right, you ought to come get right at the altar, get right at your seat, or do something, and then enjoy the service.
Amen.
I believe you ought to be right with God as you can be when you walk in that door.
Amen.
Okay? And then you can move along better. So guilt is there. Sometimes God allows some things to happen. And by the way, it's not for us to say why something happens to somebody. I've heard people say, that person, that they're getting what they, you know, karma, you know, that's karma and da-da-da-da-da. I'm thinking, man, you're not God.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
See, for the Christian, when somebody's going through guilt or getting chastised, it's for us to help. Because God, the Bible says he's scourging them. Scourging. He's putting it on you. When you're under conviction, hey, there's nothing more miserable than a Christian not right with God.
Yeah.
They can be some nasty people.
Yeah.
Amen? We can.
Yeah.
Let me say we can. Now, proofs of discipline. He loves us when he chastens us. Number two, it proves our sonship. Look at verse 7. God deals with you as what? With sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? Listen, God is training us up in the way we should go. The Heavenly Father, he is chastening you. If you're his child and you sin and there's no guilt, there's nothing, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Something's wrong. Now, the products of discipline, there are three. Number one, patient Christians. Look at verse 9. What's it say? Furthermore, we have heard, had fathers of our flesh that corrected us, and we gave them what?
Reverence.
Reverence. Our earthly fathers disciplined us in imperfect times. However, respected them. And our heavenly Father disciplined us. His discipline is perfect, and we ought to show reverence to him. When you are being chastened, You need to take it and be patient and let God do His work. Take your whooping. Right? Number two, it produces profitable Christians. Look at verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our what? Profit. That we might be for what? Now here's the exciting thing to me. When we sin, we're not kicked out of the club.
Right.
We're not sent to the corner. We're not put in the back row. God spanks us, we get right back in.
Amen.
That's a great deal. I mean, that's love and mercy right there.
Amen.
Partakers of His what? Holiness. That ought to cause us, when we're not right with God and we're getting right with God, there ought to be tears. There ought to be appreciation. There ought to be humbleness. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We don't. Patience. And then, productive. Profitable Christians, patient Christians, profitable Christians. Then productive Christians. Look at verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous. It's not fun. But notice that word exercise. That word exercised means trained. Exercised thereby. God is training us. When we're tempted to sin, and we've been there before, the chastening of God should cause us to think twice. The reason we got into it in the first place, got in trouble in the first place, we thought we could handle it.
Right.
We thought, well, I'm a super Christian. I'm Teflon Christian. You know, it's just going to bounce off me like bullets off Superman. No, it's not. You're not any better than anybody. When God chastens us, it trains us to avoid. Don't do it next time. Run. Here's a thought. When there's temptation, to do it, when you're getting ready, stop and say, Lord, I need some help here.
Amen.
That's a thought, isn't it? You think He can help? Think He can help keep you from sin? Amen. You know, we commit sin a lot of times. When somebody says something to us, we got to say something back. Nasty. Right? That's a hard one. And then we walk out and we go home and we feel guilty. We call the person and all we get is voicemail. We got to do it face to face and apologize. God chastens us. And so the next time we come up, somebody says something to us, we ought to say, okay, look, what are you doing? Biting my tongue. Help me, Jesus. That's where the struggle is. Because once it's out your mouth, you can't pull it back in. And so chastening, we need to understand chastening. This is something that's not preached a lot, not taught a lot, because it's not popular. But it's something that we all need to be aware of. We are not sinless, but we can sin less. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for the time you've given us. We pray that you bless the thoughts tonight. Thank you for the folks that have come and learned and reinforced what they've learned before. Thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, help us as Christians here at Faith Independent Baptist Church to be the Christians we need to be. And Lord, thank you for chastening us. And thank you for teaching us when we go wrong. And Lord, we thank you that we understand what the unpardonable sin is. We thank you that one day, as far as I know, everyone in this room has trusted you as personal Savior. And help us to get the gospel out in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to you. You want to slip out and get alone? I will in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have a good week. And don't forget to thank the Lord for air conditioning.
Yes.
It's close out there, isn't it? Miss Creed called me and reminded me not to leave the key in the truck on and let the battery run down. She's going, I said, what'd you do? She said, I had to take the dog outside. Our dog is so old. She's going to the bathroom more and more. We got to take her out all the time. I got a 22 bullet for him. Nice. All right, let's stand and be dismissed. We're going to send her over to Mona's for her last days. How's your little one doing? Is he healed back, or is he?
He's not 100%, and he may not ever be. He might have done something, but he's functional. That's all he needs. Functional.
Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. We're supposed to have some storms tomorrow, but they could be bad.
Uh-oh.
So batten down the hatches. Looks like we're supposed to have rain, some rain, all week. So, you know, get the sandbags. Just be careful, especially on the roads. You got hydroplaning, and you got other people driving, and see other people usually. What's that? Amen. Well, let's close in prayer. Tim, close for us. Amen. Amen. Have a good week. See you Wednesday.